You know, I've often asked people, if they died tonight and they stood before God in heaven, and God asked them, why should I let you in here? Why should I let you into the kingdom of heaven? Or why should I let you in heaven? What would your response be? Usually people are very startled when I ask them that question. And they hesitate a few minutes. And then a lot of times I said, well, let me just ask it to you this way. What do you think a person really has to do in order to go to heaven? And usually I get some kind of answer like this. You know, you need to do your best, live a good life, keep the Ten Commandments, be faithful to your wife, give to charity, try to show people love, all of these kind of things. And you know what? Those things are very good. And if we could live a righteous life that would equal Jesus' righteousness, both in our actions and in our heart, well, then it's true. We would be righteous enough to enter heaven. But the only problem is this. If we, in order to have a righteousness that would equal God's righteousness by the things that we do, we would have to keep His commandments and His laws perfectly. And my friends, you know what? There's over 613 commandments in the Old Testament. There's hundreds of commandments in the New Testament. And the Bible tells us this. In James chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in just one point, he's guilty of all. You see, it only takes you to break the law one time to be a lawbreaker. If you were living in a residential area and there was a speed limit sign that said 25 miles an hour and you went through there 50 miles an hour and you were radared by a policeman and you went to a judge for a traffic ticket, and you say, Judge, but Judge, for 10 years I've only driven 25 miles an hour through there. And a judge would look at you and says, but the day that that officer there clocked you on the radar, you were doing 50 miles an hour. See, it doesn't matter how good we've lived in the past. If we break the law in just one point, we're guilty of being a lawbreaker. You see, we could go to a penitentiary and we could find there someone there for murder, someone there for rape, someone there for robbery, someone there for tax evasion. Now, it's certainly true that there's differences in what these men did. But you know, in the eyes of the law, there's one common thing. They've broken the law. My friend, let me ask you, have you ever sinned? If we consider sin things like thoughts in our minds, giving place to things like lust and all kinds of things. I bet if you only sinned three times a day, you'd be almost like an angel. But you know what? Just think about it. Three sins a day times 365 days in a year would be 1,095 sins or transgressions. You know, if you were 17 years old, which I imagine most of you watching this video are much older than that, but if you were 17 years old, that would mean that you would have 17,000 sins and transgressions against you at this point in your life. What would happen if you went to a court of law with 17,000 offenses on your record? You see, sin is a terrible thing, and the Bible says sin separates. Let me give you an example. Sin always separates. If I committed a sin of adultery against my wife and my wife found out about that, you know what would happen? That sin of adultery would separate me from my wife. If I was dishonest or got in strife with a business partner, you know what that sin of strife or being dishonest in a partnership relationship in a business would amount to? It would separate us as partners. It would isolate us and separate us in our relationship. The Bible tells us, my friend, in Romans 6:23, that the wages of our sin is death. It's our sin have separated us between us and our God. Sin always separates. Now that's not good news. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 53:6, that all we like sheep, we've gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on Jesus all of our sins and all of our iniquities. Let me illustrate it like this. Now we're getting into the good news. The bad news is that we're sinners, that we've fallen short of the glory of God. The good news is this, that Jesus bore those sins so that we would not have to be separated in our relationship with God. Let me give you a parable. This is a parable. You know, I used to live in Oklahoma, and this is a fictitious parable. It's fiction. It's not really true, but it gets the point across. I lived in Oklahoma, and that part of the parable is true, and my dad had a ranch, and that's part of it is true. And I was driving out to my ranch one day, to my dad's ranch. I was doing about 75 miles an hour. I looked in the back rearview mirror, and Oklahoma Highway Patrol was flashing his light. He stopped me for a traffic violation. I was only supposed to be doing 55. I had to go to Pawnee, Oklahoma, to a courthouse and stand before a court with this traffic violation. When the judge came in, it was a friend of our family. I thought, oh, I'm going to get free from this traffic violation. This is going to be great. And the judge came to me and he said this. He said, Don, I would like to show you mercy. I would like to show you grace, but I cannot in order to be a just judge. He heard the evidence of the highway patrol. I was found guilty. And he sentenced me, and it was $50 fine or one day in jail. Because I didn't have $50, I was just going to go to jail. But you know what? The judge did something then, quite unusual. He took his robes as a judge off. He stepped down from his podium there, and he reached into his pocket, and he pulled out a $50 bill, and he handed that to me. And he said, pay your fine. You see, because he was a just judge, because he was a righteous judge, he had to sentence me. He wanted to show me mercy, but he couldn't in order to be a just judge. But when he took his robes off as being judge, in his mercy and his kindness as a citizen, he reached into his pocket and he paid my fine, the $50. Do you know that's what God did for us? God is a holy God. God is a just God. He just can't let us get away with sin. Because he's a holy and just God. But in his love and in his kindness, he sent the person of his son, Jesus Christ, down on here to the earth to die on a cross and to take every one of our sins upon himself. And Jesus was punished for our sins so that you and I, my friend, could be forgiven, could be cleansed, could be in a right standing with God freely, because God is not only a just and holy God. He is a loving God. And now he can show us his love, and he can show us in a just and righteous way, because his son dealt with the problem of our sin. Now, what do we need to do in order to receive this good news into our life? The Bible tells us that we need to repent. That means that we need to have a change of heart. We've like those sheep. We've gone our own way. We need to have a change of heart, a change of mind, and turn to God for his mercy. Turn to God for his forgiveness. And as we turn to God for his mercy and his forgiveness, the Bible tells us in Acts 26 and verse 18 that we're turning from darkness to light. We're turning from Satan and his kingdom to God and his kingdom. And through Jesus Christ, we're coming to him for mercy and forgiveness through what his shed blood accomplished on the cross for our sins. The Bible tells us that we're not only to repent, but we're to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And that word believe doesn't mean just some intellectual facts that you learned in Sunday school about Jesus. But let me read this Acts 16:31 from the Amplified Bible, and this is the way it says it. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Give yourself up to him. Take yourself out of your own keeping and entrust yourself into his keeping, and you shall be saved. My friend, trusting Jesus Christ for salvation is trusting Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. Right now, I'm sitting in a chair. You know, and when I asked you earlier, What are you trusting for? Trusting in order to go to heaven? Are you trusting the good things you're doing, the keeping the Ten Commandments, living the best you can? Well, then you are trusting your good works. And you know what? If I trusted this chair, but this chair was not what I thought it was, and it had some problems in its structure, I would sit in it and trust myself to it, and I would fall in the floor. That's what trusting your good works will do. It's like falling in the floor, because you have to have a righteousness that is equal to God's, and we don't have it in ourselves. Jesus went to the cross and died on the cross for all of our sins to impart and impute to us a righteousness that's His very own through what Jesus did. And the Bible says that salvation is trusting Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. I don't know if you can see it or not, but right now I'm putting my feet up. I'm on a chair. I'm putting my feet up and I'm putting my hands up because I'm trusting this chair and this chair alone to hold me up. Salvation is this. It's trusting Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone to save you. The Bible says His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save people from their sin. Jesus is the only one, and what He's accomplished on the cross for you, He's the only one that we can trust and rely upon for a right relationship and a right standing before God. You know, I was talking to a young man in a park one day, and I asked him, well, who do you think Jesus Christ is? And he said, oh, Jesus Christ is a good man. He had good teachings and this and that. I said, no, He's not. He's who He said He was, or He's a liar and a deceiver, because Jesus says, I am the way. I'm not a way. I am the way. I'm the truth and I'm the life. And no man will come to God the Father except through me. You see, Jesus is either who He claimed to be, the only way to God, the only way to righteousness, the only way to forgiveness of our sins. He's either what He claimed to be, or He's a liar and a deceiver. My friend, if He's who He said He was, then you need to trust Him today. Take yourself out of your own keeping and entrust yourself to His keeping. Entrust yourself to Him for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall be saved today. God bless you.